You know, we begin with the old idea of what is sin. We know that sin really is any act of rebellion against God and His Word. The Bible says and calls that sin is lawlessness, and that sin is an act of disobedience. And a question is raised sometimes, well, are some sins worse than others? Well, I want you to understand we can look at that in two ways. First, all sin is sin in the sense that it breaks our fellowship with God. So in that sense, all sins are equal. But there's a second aspect, and that some sins have greater consequences and discipline. There are much greater consequences for murder and those kind of things than there are for maybe lying and how they all fit together. There seems to be, and a question could be raised, well, is there any sin that's worse than all the others? Well, not really, but there is a sin that seems to stand out, and that the root cause, that it is sometimes the root cause of other aspects or other sins, and that is pride. Pride led to the fall of Satan. Pride led to the fall of mankind. Pride sometimes leads us to lie because we don't want to look bad, or it leads us to steal, where we say, it's for me. I want it for me. I deserve it. We realize that the key in our lives as we seek to live for Christ and to make a difference is something that is just exactly the opposite of pride, and that is humility. Don't turn there, but in Proverbs 3:34, it says, He scoffs at the scoffers, and yet He gives grace to the afflicted. Now, that's a New American Standard translation, but most of the translations you might have read, so he scoffs at the prideful, and He gives grace to the humble. And we see that there's a contrast to those who live their lives in pride and those who live their lives in humility. And we're going to find that humility is the key, even as we seek to live our Christian lives, even as we seek to deal with being in a fallen world controlled by the prince of the power of the air. I want you to think about this whole concept of pride and humility. How are we saved? It's not pride, because pride says, well, I did this, and I joined a church, and I got baptized, and I gave money, and I did the following things. That's pride. In fact, the passage in Ephesians says, it's not by works lest anyone should boast. So it's not pride, but it's humility. As we come before God, falling before Him, saying, I recognize that in myself there's not one thing I could ever do to gain salvation. I've sinned. I deserve death. I deserve separation. I'm like a sheep who's gone astray. I've not done righteous in any way. And we come and say, I need my Savior, Jesus. That's humility. Humility is the key, not only for our salvation, but humility is the key for our Christian life. In fact, the way that we fight the spiritual battle is humility. Same thing. It's depending on God rather than ourselves. Humility is the way that we deal with the devil. And we're going to see that this evening as we take a look at dealing with the devil. In the last few weeks, let me just remind you of some of the things. I think maybe, would it be easier if I was over here? Probably would be. Maybe that would be a better angle for most people. In the last few weeks, we've seen Satan's plan for mankind. It's this. It's very simple. He wants to keep the unbeliever from ever trusting Christ as Savior, and he wants to keep the believer from ever growing and serving God. We talked about this just 2 weeks ago. We said that his plan, he doesn't care if a person's religious. In fact, he would rather a person be religious. If a person believes by doing good things and somehow going to church and doing the rituals and going through the motions, that somehow they're getting to God, that's exactly what he wants. In fact, his lie and his false gospel is, if you do good, God will love you. And we know this, that you can't do good and God already loves you. So that's his false aspect. We know that what he wants to do is for believers, he wants to keep us from ever serving, keep us from growing. That's his plan. We saw that in the life of the unbeliever, what he does is he wants to keep them from trusting. And we saw in one whole week, we looked at he blinds those, he gives a false gospel, and he has a false lifestyle. For the believer, and we saw this last week, he wants to keep us from serving by doing a number of things. He accuses us. He wants to us to operate out of our own flesh, out of our own power. He wants to cause division within the body. And he actually infiltrates the church with false teaching. And we talked about that. We said there is a false gospel. There are people who will stand up in churches and say that you have to do the following things to go to heaven. There are people who stand up and say the Bible is not accurate, it's not true. There's false teachers there, and that's his plan. He wants to infiltrate it. Did you see the new Bible that has just come out, the politically correct Bible? It begins by the Lord's Prayer says, our father and mother, our father and mother, yeah. It says children are not to obey their parents, they're supposed to heed their parents. They've changed everything because they want it to be politically correct. God never has been politically correct. God says certain things are right and certain things are wrong, and if it may offend some, He is God and He does what He wants. We ended last time by realizing that we're in this spiritual battle. And what do? Well, we realize this, that the devil's limited. And there are a whole bunch of people who for some reason, they almost picture the devil equal with God. And they live their lives in fear of the devil. In fact, I know some Christians that when they pray to the devil. They're mad at him, and they're telling him they're going to get him, and they're going to come after him. But most of their praying is to the devil for some reason, instead of praying to our great God and Savior. Well, first of all, he's not God. It's not equal. It's not a toss-up. It's not going to be close to the end. God speaks and it's all over. The only thing Satan can ever do is what God lets him. That's part two. He's under God's control. And God is sovereign. And so we never want to forget that. But how do we as believers make it in our spiritual battle? We want to have victory. What can be our plan? Well, the key is that it's very simple. It's simple that we often overlook it. That, as I said a while ago, some say that today to have victory is we're going to go out and we're going to get the devil and we're going to bind him and we're going to stomp over him. I'll never forget, you've heard me tell this before, but I remember being at a meeting about 5 years ago, and it just so happens I was speaking that night, but a singing group from another church in our town was there. And they got up, and three of their songs dealt with defeating Satan, and one of them was they were going to stomp all over the devil, and they were going after him. That was what the song was about. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't want to mess with him. I don't want to get close to him. I don't want to go after him. I don't want to fool with him. I want to get away from him. And so there is this concept that people think that we're supposed to go after the devil. What is our plan? It's very simple, and it's often overlooked. And it's, bottom line, it's the word humility. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't go after Satan. We draw near to God. Stay close to him. There's the contrast between the pride and humility. We're to live our lives in humility, not in ourselves, but depending on God and not depending on ourselves. Pride always causes a fall. He says, take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. And just the moment that we start thinking that we're okay in a certain area, that we can handle something, that's when we fall. If you know that you have no power, you're going to have to depend on God and you'll have the victory. In our spiritual battle, we must realize that we must totally rest in God. It's humility, and it's not self. I want us to see two passages tonight dealing with our spiritual battle, and the emphasis you're going to see is the humility. How do we deal with the devil? Humility, I'll show you. We're at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 5. That's where we'll start, 1 Peter 5, 5. And let me give you an idea of the context. He is dealing with leadership in the body. In fact, he starts off by talking about the elders, and he says, here's what I want you to do, shepherd the flock and do these kind of things. And then he says in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will have the unfading crown of glory. Then he turns to younger men. He says, now by the way, younger men, likewise be subject to your elders. Because see, there's a tendency for young people to look at older people and say, they don't know anything, especially if they're teenagers. I mean, that's just the way we are at that age. We look around and say, you know, when I was 13, my daddy didn't know anything, but when I got 22, he really had gained a lot of knowledge in those few years. And that's sometimes younger men, and this passage says, look, there are the men in the body of Christ, the elders that are placed there in responsibility, and he says, younger men, be subject to them. And notice the very end of verse 5, he quotes an Old Testament passage, Proverbs 3, verse 34, the same verse that we looked at or we talked about a while ago. It says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And from that, beginning at verse 6, he's going to deal with how do we live the Christian life in the midst of a fallen world with Satan as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Look what he says to do. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. His first aspect is you must humble yourself. That's the bottom line. Come under the authority and the protection of God. We are not going out after Satan. What we are doing is coming and saying, God, I cannot do anything without you. I come under your power and your authority. And at the right time, it says he will exalt us. And of course, that means when we stand before him and he rewards us. That's the exaltation. Verse 7 says, look, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. You're in a spiritual battle, and the only way we can make it is go to God, humble ourselves, and cast our cares upon him. He is the one who fights the battle, not us. Now look at verse 8. Watch this. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, he says, be of sober spirit. That literally means realize what are the important things. What are the things that count? And he goes on to say, be on the alert. Watch out. Be careful. Your adversary, the enemy, the one who opposes you, he's the devil. He goes like a lion trying to devour you. He wants to get you. But what has he already told us to do? Humble yourself. Look what he says in verse 9. But resist him. How? Firm in your faith. And when it says firm in your faith, what that literally means is depend on the things you believe. Go back to the Word of God. In fact, it is always true that whenever the battle comes, in humility, resting on God, we're going to see in just a little bit another passage that we get as close to God as we can get in our Christian lives. When this sort of thing happens, we get as close to God as we can and we depend on the Word of God. You remember the very famous passage, we won't turn there, but after Jesus had gone and was led out by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested for 40 days. And for 40 days, he was out there, he did not eat a thing, and at the end of the 40 days, who came to him? It was Satan. And he tested him. And every statement that Satan made, and Satan quoted the Bible, it was quoted out of context, it was a misquote, but he quoted the Bible, and he would say, if you're really hungry, why don't you turn these stones right into bread? If you really would like to be king, if you will bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. If you really are the Son of God, why don't we just go right up to the pinnacle of the temple, which is the highest part, why don't you jump off, because God has already promised that you won't even hurt your foot. Every one of those temptations, because each one of them was tempting Jesus to miss the cross, to claim to be God without going to the cross. That's what the plan was. Satan wanted him to do it. What did Jesus do every time? What did he do? And where? Anybody remember the same book three times?
Deuteronomy.
Exactly. Everybody, Deuteronomy. Good night. I never studied that one. That's the one he used. He went to the Word of God. Here's what we do from this passage. We humble ourselves. We recognize that we are not the ones going after the devil. In fact, the bottom line is if you stay away from him, you're in a lot better shape than if you go looking for him. He says, humble yourself, cast all your cares upon him, know what's important and be alert because the enemy is there, resist him, and we're going to talk more about resisting him. How? Firm in your faith, go to the Word of God. So in humility, we rest in God's Word, in God's power, and what he's going to do. It is not me fighting the devil, it is always God through me. But nowhere in the Bible do you find, he says, go hunt him down, go look for him, go stomp on him, go grab him, go bind him, go do what? Doesn't say that. The key is always humility, not pride. The key is living in God's power and protection, not our power. We have to come under God's authority, humble ourselves, trust in him. So in a summary, if we want to have victory over the devil, and we talk about the fact of the roaring lion, and we live in a fallen world, and in this fallen world it affects our flesh, and the whole fallen world system is controlled by the prince of the power of the air, devil, which God lets him do that. How are we going to be able to deal with him? We don't go looking for him. We resist him by humbling ourselves unto God and depending on the truths of the Bible. So if you want to have victory, it's a matter of coming under the authority of God and humility, realizing that we must totally depend on God, that we are not fighting the fight. Here's one thing I want you to remember. Here is Lucifer, and here is Michael the archangel. And if we had to say, who's the toughest? Who is the toughest between Lucifer and Michael? Do you know? It is Michael. In fact, there's a place where Michael removes him out. And yet, In the passage in the book of Jude, when there was a dispute over the body of Moses, and Lucifer came and Michael was there, Michael did not deal with the devil. Here's the archangel dealing with another angel. He did not deal with him. He said, the Lord will rebuke you. Listen, take it from the most powerful angel. Don't mess with Lucifer. Don't mess with Satan. Don't mess with the devil. Don't think you're going to go bind him and you're going to get in his face. You don't want to get in his face. Let me tell you, he is a very powerful being, and he doesn't play around. You don't want to mess with him. Come under God's authority. Rest in God. Depend on the Word of God. There's another place. I want you to turn just one book forward to the book of James. James chapter 4. We're going to see the same truth. James chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 6. In James chapter 4, in this passage, he's talking about quarrels and arguments and fussing among the believers. And he's talking about you got all these quarrels and you got these conflicts. Why? Because you're wanting stuff, you're wanting things that don't belong to you, and you fuss with each other. And then look at verse 6, because he's going to deal with the same issue of dealing with the devil, and it comes back to the same point. It's humility rather than pride. Let me tell you, anybody that says, I'm going after the devil, they better be very careful. They have no business going after him. They don't realize that they don't need to mess with him. And sometimes in pride, people say, well, I'm going after him, and I've got the authority to do this and do this. No, all authority has been given to Jesus. We're to go make disciples, not go after the devil. So look what he says, James chapter 4, verse 6. He says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, now look at the quote, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's the same verse, Proverbs 3:34. He says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the key word again is humility. Watch verse 7. Submit, therefore, to God. Now I want you to think about it. Submission means coming under authority. It means to recognize the fact that God is sovereign, that he is your creator, he is your redeemer, he is your savior, he is your master, he is the one that empowers you, he is everything that could possibly be in our lives, and we have to come under his authority. So he says, submit therefore to God. Then the next verse says, next part says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're going to talk in a minute about resisting the devil. Resisting the devil means first you come under the authority of God, then you can resist the devil. And resisting the devil means that you will be able to stand against him. It doesn't mean you go fight him. You get as close to God as you can get. That's the key. Now look at the next verse. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We come under his authority and power. We get as close to God as we can get. That's how we have the victory. And this is the thing I want us to really think about, because this is the bottom line. That we live in a part of the country in which there's this whole issue of fighting Satan. And let me tell you, you don't even want to deal with him. You don't want to talk about him. You don't want to pray against him. You just want to talk to God and get as close to him as you can get and draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Submit yourself to God. And he says, then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's not ourself, but it's God. It is not pride, but it is humility. The way to have victory is to submit to God, to come under his authority, to draw near to him. And when you do, depending on him and not self, you'll be humble, and it will not be pride, but you'll be able to resist the devil. Now, how does this resisting work? Because I want you to understand that when we resist the devil, it is not us fighting him. It is not us going after him. It is us being able to defend ourselves. How do we do it? That's another book, and it's another place. It's Ephesians 6. Just turn over there. It's a very famous passage. Ephesians 6, verse 10. As we turn there, who knows what's in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18? What is it? The armor of God. See, the way we resist the devil and the way we win, so to speak, the Christian life and to have victory is not that we're going after the devil and fighting him. It's that we're drawing near to God. We're submitting to his authority. We're putting on the armor of God so that we'll be able to stand. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 10. Look how he puts it. This is Paul writing here. Of course, we've seen Peter and we've seen James. And now here Paul, he talks about almost the same thing. He says, finally, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, he's telling believers that you need to be strong. You need to be able to stand. But it's not your strength. It's the strength of the Lord. Be strong in God, not yourself. And for you to recognize that you have no strength in yourself and it's got to be God's power through you, you have to humble yourself. Because we want to say things like, well, I think I can do it. No, you cannot. The quicker we admit. I told you that whole idea, and I've told you this story before, but I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 19. I did not start growing until I was 25, and when I started growing for about 6 months, things were going great, and then I began to fail a whole bunch, and I can remember thinking to myself, I am not measuring up to what I think I ought to be. And I remember one night, laying in the bed, actually saying to myself, I wish I wasn't a Christian. See, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't have this standard that I got to try to live up to, and I can't do it. And I actually wished I had never heard of that stuff, because I kept saying, I'm not living up to it. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I'll never live up to it. I can't live the Christian life in my power. I can't set myself up and say, if I'll do the following 10 things, I can do what God wants me to do, because I fail every time. And that night I realized, wait a minute. And I got out the Bible and I began to look and I thought, wait a minute. It's not my strength. I can't live the Christian life. I can't do it. And in a sense, in humility, I recognize the fact that the only way I'll ever live the Christian life is God through me. And I must walk in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I must be filled with the Spirit. And it's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh by the power of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. I begin to realize those truths. And when we come to the realization that you cannot live the Christian life. In fact, I remember talking to a friend one time, and I said, you think the Christian life's hard? And they said, oh, I think it's hard. And I said, oh, no, no, it's not hard. It's impossible. You can't live it. God through you. And when we get to that grasp and we come to Ephesians 6 and it says, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, and in the power of his might, and then he says a great verse, he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now notice it does not say, put on the armor of God so you can go after the devil. Never says that. It says that you can stand. And the idea of stand there means defensive. And we're going to look at the armor of God a little bit next week. And a lot of people look at it and they get to the sword. And they go, there's an offensive weapon. It is not an offensive weapon in this passage. You put on the helmet so you can stand and defend yourself. You're not going after him. You're defending yourself. Look what he says. Put on the full armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the schemes, the tricks, the lies, the cunningness of the devil. And then he reminds us of the struggle. He said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the powers, it's against the world forces of this darkness. It's against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's Satan and his demons. That's the battle. We sometimes think people are the enemy. Satan's the enemy. He's the roaring lion. That's why we draw near to God. Verse 13 says, therefore, he says it again, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in that evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand firm. He doesn't say attack. He doesn't say go after him. He doesn't say hunt him down. He doesn't say go bind him. He says you put on the armor of God so you can stand and resist him. And then he begins to list some of the armor. We'll see some of that a little bit next time. But what I want you to see is that our battle is not offensive. We're not going out to destroy the devil. We are not in that battle. God is our Savior. God is our Redeemer. God is our fortress. God is the strength. God is the warrior. God is the one who fights the battles. And one day, he will speak, and it will be over. That's all he'll do. We draw near to God. He will draw near to us. Submit to God. Come under his authority. Humility. He says, stand firm. Now, we're in conclusion, we're in a spiritual battle. Forces of heavenly places, darkness. The key is humility. It's not pride. It's not dependent on ourselves, but it's dependent on God. We're to submit to God, come under his authority, draw near to him, and in a sense, we'll be able to resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? As we put on the armor of God so we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in that day, he says, stand firm. In fact, I like the way he writes it. He says, so having done everything to stand firm, stand firm. That's what you do. Please don't be caught up in this whole idea of attacking the devil and going after him and praying against him and being afraid of him, and that he's behind every corner and behind every tree. He is a roaring lion. He is cunning. He is tricky. What you want to do is get as close to God as you can get. Let me give you just an application, and we'll open it up for any questions you might have. But the application is this first. The key to victory is trusting in God and not ourselves. It's number one, humility and not pride. It's realizing that you could not defeat the devil. You don't even want to go around him. You don't want to mess with him. You're no match for him. God is the power. God is the one who fights the battle. And that's why Galatians says, walk in the Spirit. It's God's power. The Christian life is victory in our power, not God's power. It's in God's power, not our power. The second aspect of this is submit to God and draw near to Him. Come under His authority. Come under the Word of God. That's the weapon. I read a quote the other day that's talking about having the mind of the believer and to think biblically. And then what that means is that we make our decisions, we base our plans on what the Word of God says, and we obey God's revealed revelation as found in the Word of God. That's how we live on a day-to-day basis. We live our lives based on what we know the Scripture teaches, and we live by that. Draw near to Him. Let me raise a question. How do you draw near to God? What do you do? That's the first thing I have written down right there, is prayer, the quiet times, the reading of the Word, the understanding, the Scripture memorization, the spending time with Him and what everybody commonly calls the quiet time, but we need to spend time with Him. The final part is resisting. And we resist by putting on the armor of God and standing firm. The armor is taking God's power and defending ourselves. May we in humility draw near to God so that we can stand in God's power and be able to resist the devil. We're going to see a little bit more next week in Ephesians 6 on this armor and see how that fits together as we seek to stand for our Savior. Let's pray. We'll open up for questions you might have. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, we thank You that in Your Word it is clear that in humility we submit to You. We come under Your authority. We draw near to You and You draw near to us. We stand by putting on the armor of God so that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We thank You, Lord, that as we look through the Bible, that we're not commanded to go fight him, but we are commanded to stand strong, to draw near to You, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to become conformed to the image of our Savior, to walk in the Spirit. Lord, may we do that. May we realize that the only way that we will have victory is that we draw near to You, we live our lives in Your power, and humility come under Your authority. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.